Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's Gospel text, we find the verse that has been called the Gospel in a nutshell, the most concise and basic proclamation of God's eternal plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. It's probably one of the most commonly memorized verses. It trips over the tongue with barely a thought. And when I see a public bench near my condo with the numbers 3:16, I know exactly what it's referring to. But let's take this apart a little bit. For God so loved the world. Love. Sometimes we think of it as a reciprocal relationship. You love me and I love you. Or a responsive thing. Because you love me, I love you. But when we are talking about God and love, we need to note that God is the initiator, that God's love flows prior to anything else. In fact, that it was the love of God that initiated creation. All that exists has come into being out of the love of God. God loves the world. In the Greek text, the word that is used is cosmos. And when we use the word cosmos, we immediately think bigger. It's not just about this planet, but it's about everything that God has created. And it's not just about this physical planet, but it's about every person who inhabits this planet. All are objects of the immense love of God. Every last person, even the ones that I don't particularly like. I know I find that shocking too. Sometimes, as human beings, our love is conditional, but God's love is absolute, because God's love is not a response to who we are or how we behave. God's love is inherent to the character of God. Last week, the book study group read some excerpts from The Revelations of Divine Love by Julian of Norwich. In one, she is reflecting on a little hazelnut in the palm of her hand. She says that she knows three things about it: that God made it, that God loves it, and that God preserves it. The same can be said about each of us: that God made us, that God loves us, and that God preserves us day by day throughout time and eternity. God loves the world, and because God loves the world, that love causes God to act for the good of the world. And in today's text, we are specifically reminded of God's work in the life and death of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Nicodemus, who was quizzing Jesus, wouldn't have understood what that meant. But with the advantage of hindsight, we know that Jesus was given specifically to be the sacrificial Lamb of God who would die for the sins of the world, for my sins, for yours. Nicodemus came in secret to see Jesus. Already the powers that be were getting a little bit nervous about the crowds that were flocking to hear Jesus. Already Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, understood that he could get in trouble just for being seen in Jesus' company. So he comes at night, and Jesus shares things with him that he just doesn't get. Jesus speaks about being born again. He talks about the Son of Man needing to be lifted up just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. Now that is an image of salvation that Nicodemus would have understood. And Jesus underscores the universality of the call to faith. Everyone is invited to believe in the Son. I want to pause a little at that word, believe. We need to think a little bit about what that means in this context. Sometimes we use the word believe without much weight. I believe it might snow this week, but I really hope not. Or sometimes it carries a sense of having an opinion. I believe that cats are better pets than dogs. Sometimes it carries the weight of accepting something as true. I do believe that vaccines work. So what does Jesus mean when he is inviting us to believe? In one of the first theology courses I ever took, the instructor emphasized that belief in this context carries, yes, an element of knowledge of who Jesus is, but perhaps even more important, a level of trust. When we say that we believe in Jesus, part of what we are affirming is that what the Bible says about Jesus, what Jesus says about himself, is true. We affirm our beliefs in the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, which we're going to read today. We affirm the facts of who Jesus is, the Son of God, and what he did during his time on earth, and where he is now at the right hand of the Father, and what he will ultimately do when he returns. But if we simply read these as facts to be believed, we are missing an absolutely essential aspect of faith. We believe these things, and we come to trust Jesus. We trust that his death and resurrection were accomplished for us. There is a personal connection. And we trust that when he comes to judge the living and the dead, we will have nothing to fear because we have already come to trust Jesus for time and for eternity. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God's love intends that we live in the presence of God for time and for eternity. God made us. God loves us. God preserves us in this world and into eternity. The gospel in a nutshell, the gospel that we are privileged to be able to share. Amen.